Welcome to City League Sports, the show where we talk about the past and the present of the Columbus City League. I'm your host, Rachel Corey, manager of school communications, filling in for Dr. Clairno. Today we have the Lyndon McKinley STEM Academy cheerleaders in the building. Let's start with introductions. Can you say your name, what grade you're in, and any fun fact that you want us to know?
Okay. My name is Sherrill. I'm a senior, and this is my first year cheering for LMHS.
Wonderful.
My name is Marlisha. I'm a junior, and this is my second year cheering for Lyndon McKinley High School.
Very cool.
I'm Janice Crutcher, a licensed social worker for the past 10 years.
Why don't we start over here? What made you want to join cheerleading?
Okay, well, I've been cheering since I was little, and I think when I was younger, I would, like, watch the cheerleaders practice because my brother played football, but I was too young to get put on the team, so I would just watch them. But eventually, they were like, oh, bring her to the games, we'll get her a uniform. And I think it was just watching them do it that inspired me.
I did Little League since I was 4 years old when my mom was helping out with cheer. And it had, like, that's what I wanted to do, like, when I get older and stuff. So what inspired me was, like, just watching other cheerleaders, like, on TV, watching different colleges, cheer teams, and other stuff.
Very neat. So you watch some of the competitions of the college and high school cheerleaders?
Yeah.
Very neat. And what inspired you to be a coach?
My cheer coach did. I started cheerleading when I was 6 at Northeast Rec Center. And my cheer coach then was my cheer coach basically my whole entire cheer career, with just moving to Little League and All-Star. And so when I had left All-Star, I was still very much attached to her. I've known her literally my whole entire life. But she passed away unexpectedly when I was 22. And it was just a drive to just continue her legacy.
When you are talking about legacy, her legacy, what kind of legacy do you hope to leave behind as a coach for yourself?
For myself, I am hoping to just be a pillar at Lyndon. The community and the environment can get kind of gray. And so I just wish to be a ray of sunlight so that when they get to that older adult, plant a seed and they are able to remember something that I taught them.
She did inspire, like, if we don't know something, like, if we don't, like, forget something or don't know it at all, she, like, helped.
Yeah, so she's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to add?
She's very understanding, no matter, like, the situation.
You've had a great football team, basketball team this year. You're leaders in your community as cheerleaders. How does that affect you? How does that make you feel?
Well, I feel like we do get a bad rep. But if you, like, actually, like, look deeper into the school, you will see that it's, like, a lot of, like, everybody really just, like, loves on each other. Like, if you're friends, like, all the, like, I don't know how to explain this, but, like, coming from the outside, when I first went to Lyndon, everybody was like, that's a bad school. A lot of things were happening. I was like, oh, why would I come here? But when you actually look deeper, it's like everybody, it's like a brother sisterhood. Everybody, like, comes together and supports each other.
And I can see that when I look at your school. I've go there a lot. I love listening to the band at Lyndon McKinley.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching you when you're performing too. And yeah, I can totally see that in your school community.
What she like, it's like a brotherhood or whatever she said. like they all like support each other. It's not really bad how everybody on the outside do be making it seem like, because that's what I thought it was before I like even started cheer or anything going there.
Do you feel that as athletes representing the school that there's additional pressure on you to be extra good because of this?
Yes.
I want to just start by saying I grew up in the Lyndon area. I went to Lyndon Elementary. Lyndon was my home school, but I went to Beechcroft. I say that to say when I started coaching at Lyndon, it was really me helping someone. I had just got done being a volunteer coach at Beechcroft. I wasn't really trying to coach at all at the moment, but I wanted to help the advisor before me get her program started. And I never left. And I say I wanted to piggyback or bring that to the forefront only to say this is the best thing that I've ever done. The kids, and I don't mean just my cheerleaders. I mean the band, the football team, the basketball team, the drill team, volleyball teams. We are all close-knit. Those kids, they are great kids. For me, it's hard to watch the stigma. Like, if you're in the news or anything like that, the media, it always seems to be like, oh, the Linden kids chose education over violence. And I don't necessarily see, I don't see that there. All of those kids, they have great grades. They're on principal awards. They get principal awards, super honor roll. They're helpful. They're there as a community. We show up when we're supposed to. We do a lot of community events as well. And I don't get that version of any of those kids at all. And I love the kids dearly. Actually, I really do. But no, this, I would not want to be anywhere else but where I am.
You said that you grew up in the area. And you see these cheerleaders that, you know, you've helped coach and grow into, not adults yet, but you've watched them grow. How does that affect you as a person?
It makes me feel good as a person. I sometimes can see myself in them, give or take, every once in a while. And so it's like, oh, this is me. But I also know that because I grew up in that area, I am considered a person that made it out of the area. So I always try to make sure that I am being the best role model that I can be. And it goes back into the reason why I coach in general is I am supposed to be someone that they could count on. And so for me to just watch them and see them, and Sherelle's getting ready to graduate, but the girls that I have graduated before them, to watch them get out and get accepted into all of their colleges and go, everyone that I coached last year is either currently in college or they're going to the military, things of that nature. So just to see them live out their dreams and be able to be something bigger than their environment is a great thing.
Sounds like you are a wonderful coach and helping to raise, because it takes a village.
Yes, it does.
These students, right. A little bit background about me. I went to the University of Cincinnati. I was on the dance team for a little bit there. I've danced my whole life since I was 3. I judge dance competitions right now. I've also done cheerleading in the past as well. So I'm really love seeing success stories and hearing about all different perspectives of cheerleaders and dancers alike. So you were able to see firsthand the football team, and you saw them evolve in the past 2 years. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's actually pretty good. Like, it's fun seeing everybody happy winning.
Did it make you more excited to cheer on the side? Was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's fun. Like, it making me ready for, like, say we won one game, make me ready for the next, knowing we're going to win. Like, yeah.
For me, I've been coaching prior to these 2 years as well. So for me, it definitely is fun. I don't think it's fun to cheer when the team isn't winning. And I'm a little biased because football season is the best season to me. And it's because you have the band out and you get to see the other cheerleaders. We don't get to see cheerleaders often during basketball season. But these past 2 years, it's been good to just say we have the best band. We have the best football team. We have the best cheerleading team. So I like that we go into the season and we're like, we're going to win this game. And we won. And we were able to share the City League North title last year. That was pretty fun and exciting for the kids. We fell short a little bit this year, but that's okay. We'll be back next year. We're ready to go. And I think it gives you another sense of pride when your football team is winning, the band is doing their thing on the field, and then we have to do our thing also on the sidelines and doing hello cheers and just, and we have our tag best in the North. So that's where we are. Just trying to make sure we stay true to being the best in the North and trying to be the best in the city.
So what do you wish people understood more about the sport of cheerleading?
Technique. I think that, and this is just my, what's the word I'm looking for, experience in the past as a coach, is a lot of people look at the cheerleaders and go, oh, that looks fun, until they try to get on the team. And then it's, oh, this is hard. And so I wish some people had more respect for the technique and the actual craft of cheerleading, because it isn't just yelling and jumping up and down.
No, it's not. It's so much more than that. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. And a lot of times you'll practice for a routine, right? And it's a short routine, 2 minutes. But there's a lot of work that goes into that 2 minute routine that no one has any idea about.
Yeah.
What is something that you both hope that someone would understand more about cheerleading?
Kind of like our coach said, it's not as easy as it looks. So, like, don't try and mimic us, because it actually, we took a long time to learn that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What does a typical practice look like for your team? Do you show up and start running?
We condition for 30 minutes.
Condition for 30 minutes. What do you do in the do you have to do burpees, jumping jacks, all the above?
Frogs, tear jacks, leg rows,
splits,
squats.
And then after you get done with your conditioning, what comes next?
Jumps and motions.
Okay.
And then they get water.
Okay. And water. That's important. That is an important part. You need that. You need to stay hydrated. Then you go into routines. Big cheers.
Yes, we like do reviews before we like start on anything else, like teaching or learning anything else. We go over like stuff we learned the day before or like the week after or something like that.
Yeah. Really just depending on the day. Because game day practice, we're only practicing game day stuff. Wednesdays, we're in the weight room. It really just depends.
So in the weight room, what kind of exercises do we do in the weight room? See, for those of the people that do not think this is a sport, we have cheerleaders in the weight room. What kind of exercises?
Well, you have to ask Coach Reggie, the strength and conditioning coach. I'm not sure. I'm doing my administrative stuff at that time. I haven't been in there in a while, but they can tell you what they do.
A lot of, like, stuff for your arms and your legs.
Yeah, because to be cheerleaders, you have to be strong. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to push off the ground so you can get the height in those jumps and then all the tumbling skills necessary, right? So I think that mental health is also just as important as physical health in any sport. And to be a phenomenal athlete, you have to balance that, right? Your mental health. So how? Mm-hmm. What are some ways that you help your cheerleaders balance the mental stress that is required in a sport like this?
I decided to create a mental health check-in. It's only 5 questions. It's like, how are you doing today? What's something you could forgive yourself for? What's something that you love about yourself? If you could forgive yourself for anything, what would it be? And then it gives them like a chance to tell me how they're doing in a heart color. Like, okay, great, poor, I need a mental health check-in. If they ever check the black heart, then I do one-on-one sessions with them. As a team, I try to do a self-regulation, which I don't know if we ever did, but sometimes I do like a painting practice. So we're not practicing, but everyone gets a paint canvas and we paint. This year, I think we did a pat on the back exercise where everyone drew their hand and you passed it to the right. And they had to write down something positive about whoever's hand they had.
So, nice. So those check-ins, those are before every practice?
They're supposed to be weekly.
What is one cheer or chant that when you guys do, it gets the crowd completely hyped?
Hype.
Is it called hype? That's cool. Can you demonstrate it or share it with us?
Like, do it?
Yes. Would you be willing to do a cheer? Your hype cheer?
Sure.
Why sure? not?
Get high, high, do it, high, high, run.
That was so good. Very nice. You're very synchronized too. I appreciate that. You work really hard on the motions too. Yeah. They're very, very together, and their motions are very clean. I judge dance competitions, so I look at that stuff all the time. That was very well done. Thank you. So what about that gets the crowd hype?
The ad-libs.
The ad-libs. Do they, is it like a call and response? Do they add?
They do it with them. They do the ad-libs with them. The band gets involved. The crowd gets involved. The football team or the basketball team may get involved too.
That's great. So speaking of football team, heard that the football team has been doing very well the past 2 years. How has that affected the cheerleading team? Did you get to travel at all with them? What are some fun things that happened?
I'll speak to last year just because we went to Athens last year. So we were in Joe Burrow Stadium. So that was pretty exciting just to get down there and see that. And we went to Boone Carroll this year. So we've been to Boone Carroll a couple times, but I would definitely say that going to Joe Burrow Stadium was good, was fun.
Do you have a favorite memory from cheer so far?
Cheer camp.
Yeah, cheer camp.
Cheer camp. What was about it that made it memorable?
What do we win, a spirit cone?
Yeah.
What's a spirit cone?
Well, it's like, so we'll be learning cheers and stuff, and then they'll be like, bring it on in. You just got to show your spirit, like your team spirit.
And your team won for the spirit?
Yeah, we end up winning one of them. We didn't get the spirit key, but we got a cone.
Well, congratulations. That is awesome.
We do have a spirit key in our history, though. The first year we went to cheer camp. So
and we got that.
We do have one.
So we have tons of spirit at Lynn McKinley is what I'm hearing. Love it. When you are performing, and coach, you know this too, you'll have a great answer for this, and something doesn't go the way you expect it to go, how can you bounce back from that?
Keep going.
100%.
Well, yeah, just keep going, and like, you'll do better next time. So mess up one time, you do better the second.
I think not only do you keep going, but you, I know they always say like, oh, don't show it on your face. Keep smiling.
Oh, yeah.
I think, smile right through it.
Yes. Yeah, smile right through it. Keep going. Add an extra facial maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that they do a good job if they do mess up, depending on what they mess up on. They laugh about it afterwards so they can like get out of that mindset of, oh, I messed up. I did this very bad. It's like, it's okay. Start over.
Yeah, you learn from it, and then you move on, and you keep it as a learning experience.
Don't miss a practice. Like, it's okay to, like, get mental breaks and stuff, but, like, don't miss a practice because, like, it's hard to catch up.
Yeah.
And it's hard to learn, like, how everybody else have learned.
It is. How many practices do you have a week?
The whole week.
It depends. Basketball season's a little sketchy. Coach Darter likes to go everywhere underneath the sun, and I tried to go with him. So depending on his schedule, we could have like anywhere from 2 to 3 games a week, or 4. I think we do have a week coming up where there's like 4 games next year in 1 week. But during the summer, we practice Monday through Thursday for about 2 hours.
Okay. That's a lot of work you put in.
Yes.
When you're working with them, it's hard sometimes as a coach to support students and push them, right? You have to do this push and pull. How do you balance that?
I try to remember, and I don't mean this in a, I try to remember that everybody is their own person. So you may see their potential and want it to come out, but some people just aren't either ready or they haven't got there yet. And so I try to make sure that I just meet people where they are and work with them down there. Still with a little encouragement, though. So for these two, for example, not saying that they weren't at their potential, but when we were switching over to basketball season, some stuff in our program changed as well. So it was more of a, we've been training up for leadership here for the basketball season, but now is your time to shine. It's your time to do what you've been preparing yourself to do. I know you could do it. So just have fun and do it.
Easier said than done sometimes, all right?
Yeah. But yes. I tried to, like, hey, you could do this. It's just do it. We got it. You need a break, let me know, but just do it.
Now, what has cheerleading helped you with in the classroom or just in life in general? What life skills have you learned from cheerleading that have transferred over?
I would say, like, I'm opened out more. Like, I used to be shy, like, when I first started. And now, like, I'm more energized, more open, and talkative.
I agree with that, too. And just, like, the responsibility, it makes you, like, grow in some type of way, like, mature a little bit. When you're cheering, you're like, oh, I should, like, make this TikTok using these words. But when you become in leadership, you're like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to stop them. We're not going to do stuff like that. It just makes you think in a different type of light.
I would use the whole team in general as well as these two. They're pretty good kids, so I've never had a problem with them, actually. But I would say just cheerleading in general, you are a cheerleader, and now you're a leader not only of the school but of your community. And so I try to remind them of everyone's looking at you. You set the standard. What are you going to do to make sure that people looking up to you are making positive choices? And even if you aren't making positive choices, how can we keep you on the team? How do we keep you fully engaged? How do we keep you committed to something you decided that you wanted to do? So as far as discipline, responsibilities, or taking accountability as well. So if they do things that they know they shouldn't do, hey, we have to talk about this. You may have to do a consequence. And you may not like me, but we'll talk about that after. Because then we start the conversation of what could have been better or different. So I think that as a whole, just watching them mature, the team in general, I have a pretty young team. So watching them mature has been good.
Are they mostly freshmen, mostly young?
Right now, yes, I would say. We just added a whole bunch of freshmen to the JV team for basketball season. So
that's nice. Yes. That you get to watch these young ladies grow as not only cheerleaders, but into beautiful human beings.
Absolutely. That's the goal.
What qualities do you, speaking on the same topic, do you value in cheerleaders besides their athletic ability?
Leadership. Well, leadership, accountability, responsibility, and I don't want to say, well, I guess you could kind of say critical thinking, for lack of a better word. I think there's a point where you're in a situation that you know you need to get out of. And how can I remove myself from this? Or how can I change the narrative? Or maybe I need to change my friends or my surroundings. So they all end up having a goal, which I try academically. They all know that the challenge is a 3.5. And I try to challenge them all to a 3.5 as a individual GPA, just so they can keep their motivation going. Oh, I just need a 2.0. You do. That's right. But why don't we get a 3.5 and shoot some? So just in case you don't get there, you're somewhere in the middle. You'll fall in between. Our football GPA was 3.2 accumulative for the whole team. So I think it's working. But
great at academics and you.
Yes, but just trying to make sure that they know you have to elevate yourself. One of our hashtags we use this year is just, well, that I use, they don't use it, I do, because it's a rebuild year for me. I graduated about 10 kids last year. So my new era hashtag this year is just about me continuing the legacy I have as a coach there, but also elevating it to the next level. So how can I do that? And I am expecting you to be something bigger than yourself. So
I would say, like, grace, because, like, everybody should be on the team. Like, they need to be on the team. And, like, good education. If you're, like, your GPA, if your GPA low, you can't be on the team. But, like, we would love, like, to have everybody as one on the team.
I would like to say everyone, like, be nice to each other and, like, growing as a team and forming a bond. Most of the time, people cling on to people that they know already on the team. But then as the season goes on, their group kind of, like, spreads out.
Besides, like, attempting to do some team bonding, which I don't know if we ever got there. We had a rough summer. Hard work this summer as far as hounding and technique. So I try to do something. I mean, I think one time we like went for ice cream or something randomly. So I try to do little stuff like that. We are supposed to have a winter cheer party that I call Winter Cheermas. Just to play, just to get away from the actual like Christmas or something. It's winter in nature, so it's blue. It's supposed to be about snowflakes and stuff like that. So I'm hoping we get a chance to do it this year. We didn't get a chance last year, but just trying to get them involved and get to know each other, essentially, is what we should be doing. If we do a bowling outing or something like that. I don't think, we didn't do it this year, but last year we went to Kings Island as a team. We went bowling, I think, the year before that. So we need to figure out what to do. We've been to Longhorn together, Chili's together. So this team needs to have an outing as well, but we haven't had a chance to actually get everybody involved. I normally wait till after the holiday seasons to do it. So everyone spends time with their family first.
Do you have big dreams after high school?
Yeah.
Do you want to share any of those?
I plan to go to school and get my BS in nursing.
Fabulous, fabulous. Do you have any place where you're looking at going? Or
at the moment, I'm looking at Cincinnati, Ohio University, Morgan State University, and I think Winston-Salem University.
Very cool. Well, I hope you succeed in everything that you want to do. Yay, senior. Thank you so much for meeting with me today. I really appreciate it. That's all the time that we have. Be sure to catch all the episodes on WCBE 90.5. You can also catch our podcast on Spotify, Apple, and your favorite podcast platforms. Additionally, you can follow us on Instagram at City League Sports 614, and you can subscribe to our YouTube page and hit the like button on our videos. Again, I'm your host, Rachel Corey, filling in for Dr. Clarno, and these are the Lady Panthers, and this is City League Sports. See you next time.
Hi there, this is Morgan James. Every album represents a step in an artist's journey. Hello, music lovers. I'm inviting you to listen to Music Journeys with Mike Foley. Mike mixes music and conversation with artists to share what informed and inspired their latest project, how the love of music began, what music means to them, and so much more. We've chatted about three of my projects, the most recent being Soul Remains the Same, a soul album of songs you would never expect. You can always expect the perfect combination of music and stories on Music Journeys. The show airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on WCBE. Recent episodes are available on the major podcast platforms and the WCBE app. To meet and hear more from all the musicians featured since its start in 2018, including me, to be the first to be featured three times on the show, look for Music Journeys on WCBE's podcast experience at WCBE.org.
Do you love amazing stories? I know I do. I'm Michael Kent, and every week on my show, we examine something from history that's so unbelievable it sounds made up, but is 100% verifiably true. It's a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, and there are hundreds of episodes to choose from. For example, did you know the story of how Leonard Nimoy came up with Live Long and Prosper for Star Trek? Or how Columbia is dealing with a hippo problem that goes back directly to Pablo Escobar? Or one of my favorite stories, a man figured out that a nondescript Winnebago being auctioned online was actually an important part of space exploration history. These are all stories from The Internet Says It's True. Listening to a podcast has never been easier. You can listen through any popular podcast app, through the NPR app, or download the fantastic new WCBE app, click the Podcasts tab, and look for The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent. You'll have so many stories up your sleeve, you'll feel like the smartest person in the room, especially if you're home alone.